we are in an endless pandemic. At what point do we get to put all of this behind us and move forward? Right now, we're coming up on about 2 years of this pandemic, and right now we're doing the same thing that we've been doing before, the lockdowns, everything else. At what point are the American people going to be truly free from tyranny? If you're asking these basic questions, it doesn't make you a conspiracy theorist. It makes you somebody with common sense that wants to know when we'll be able to put an end to this. And for us to be able to put an end to all of this, we must be able to have a goal in mind, something that we can look to say, this is what we're trying to achieve. I'll be getting into this and more on The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So let's jump right into this topic here. And what I'm talking about is this pandemic. It's been going on for the longest period of time. And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't really let up. We thought there would have been some leeway after the vaccines came out, and there kind of was. Places were opening up again with the many companies and other states were loosening the mask mandates, and everybody seemed to be trying to get back to some sense of normality. Except that didn't really stick, did it? Because right now we're heading right back into what already didn't work the first time. And we have to ask ourselves exactly what's going on. What should we be looking at right now? What is the goal of all of this? Because many people are just stuck at doing things. They're just doing what they see the masses doing. They're doing what may be popular. But we have to be asking ourselves, at what point will these things be truly over? What are we even trying to achieve at this point? So if you remember at the very beginning of the pandemic, we were told that we should accept these lockdowns, that no matter what took place, we should lock down. And of course, everybody was scared. We didn't know what to think. We didn't know what was going to happen. So we all locked down. Everybody kind of generally stayed in their homes. We saw businesses shut down. We saw churches shut down, which in hindsight was probably not a great idea when you look at churches, because ultimately, guess who stayed open? Walmart stayed open, you know, these other stores stayed open. I mean, strip clubs stayed open, right? But you had churches that closed as a result of all this. But either way, because I've harped on that before, but the thing is that we did that. We went ahead and we capitulated to what they wanted us to do. Now, things changed. And then they said, okay, well, after this, I mean, we need 15 days to flatten the curve, if you remember. That was what we were told in the very, very beginning of this. The hospital systems were being overwhelmed. We needed to slow that down. And to slow that down, people needed to lock down. So we did that. And then really what we understood after that was that it was really just a delay tactic. I mean, that was the ultimate goal of it, ultimately. But now they were telling us, or at the time, after that, they were telling us that we must use the masks, that the masks were going to be the means of which people needed to go around and converse with one another. So masks were mandated. They were required in many states. To walk into a restaurant or a store, you had to wear a mask, even as stupid as it seemed to walk into a restaurant with a mask on, just to sit at a table 3 feet from another table and take it off while you're eating. I mean, it didn't make any sense, but a lot of people did that because we didn't know any better. Some people just weren't thinking about what was happening. We thought, hey, look, we just do this and things will be over. So we wore the masks. Or at least some of us did. I basically tried as much as I could not to. But once we were told all of that, we were told, hey, look, okay, you can unmask now and, you know, you can gather in these larger numbers as long as you've been vaccinated. Okay, but let's look at some of the statistics here, because that's really what matters, are the facts on the ground. So the data is showing that over 75% of all Americans right now over the age of 65 have been double vaccinated. So the vast majority, and just the majority of people in general in the United States, have been double vaccinated. So that's where we're standing right now. This isn't from last year. This is where we're at right now. We've done the masks. We've done the lockdowns. And they said that we can do all of these other things as long as you got the vaccine. The majority of Americans are vaccinated at this point. But the problem is that there's no metric of success whatsoever that's been proposed that basically is talking in forms of these restrictions to tell us when we can get back to normal life. There's no metric there. Because what are we looking at? I mean, right now, as you know, like I said, we're starting right back into getting back into the mask. You have many places starting to lock down again. Why? Because the vaccines weren't all that effective. Of course, they want to blame the people that didn't get the vaccine, but that doesn't make any sense. The point is that, you know, viruses mutate. That's how it works. The flu, it's the same thing every year. It's a different strain of the flu. We all know how this works already. But the thing is that we have no metric right now to determine as to what we're or when we're going to say enough is enough. We're going to stop here because we have no goal that we're even trying to achieve. I mean, what are we supposed to be looking at? Deaths? Okay, well, let's see how many people are dying and kind of go off of that. Maybe case count. It's just about the amount of infections total. Is that what we're looking at to determine whether or not we should be locking down still or wearing masks still? I mean, where are we trying to go here? I mean, let's look at Hawaii, for example, which is one of the outliers and kind of interesting here. They have an indoor mask mandate for everybody, despite having a 7-day rolling average of 2 deaths per day in a minimum population of 1.4 million. So they only are averaging 2 deaths a day from this, but for some reason, they're still imposing these mask mandates, or they're still doing this, right? So kind of weird that we're seeing this take place here. So once again, what are we trying to achieve? What metric are we looking at here? Are we looking at hospitalizations, for example? So Australia, another one that I'll get back into a little bit later in this show, is on a complete lockdown right now. Like extremely, extremely strict lockdown at this moment. And despite that, a grand total of 119 people are in the ICU at this moment. And the country has a 25 million population. So what you're seeing here is a very small number of people are actually in the ICU whatsoever, but yet they have a massive population. So what are we looking at here as the metric of doing this? What is the reasoning behind all of this? I mean, we've seen this in many clips that I've been playing recently about schools, right? They're trying to mask kids, even though there's no legitimate data that is suggesting that kids are a big spreader for this virus or that they're at risk of the virus on at least in a major way. They're not at risk for this virus. Not nowhere near like the older adults or the more vulnerable people or people with a bunch of different comorbidities. So why is it that they're requiring these students to do this? Once again, these are all questions. They don't make you a conspiracy theorist. They're common sense questions because otherwise we're going to be stuck in this cycle forever. And I don't think a lot of people understand this because they're too looking at the right now and are not learning from history. So there was actually this video that was on Tim Pool's show. And basically what they were discussing was talking about the way that the government has overreached over the years, okay, and how certain policies that we today see as being just standard parts of our lives weren't always that way and were sold a very different kind of message in the very beginning. So one of the big ones was income tax, right? Everybody pays income tax. We don't question it. We don't look at it. Most people aren't even complaining about it because it's just a thing that we have all grown up paying. We don't remember at any given point in time where we didn't have to pay an income tax, but that wasn't actually always the case. So at one point in history, income tax was not a thing and was actually sold to the public as a means of only taxing the very rich, something that you hear Democrats talking about. And this, by the way, was a progressive thing, but it was marketed to tax just the very, very, very rich people. And, you know, their money would be used to help out all of these other programs that would then help out everyone else. So it was only going to be like 2% of their salary, the richest rich echelon of society, and it would help everybody. That's what it was sold as. But then a war took place, and they needed a way to pay for the war. So what did they do? They started taxing everybody on their income, everybody, no matter what their income was. And now, even though obviously the war is clearly over, it's still taking place. It's still common practice. And nobody's even questioning why this was implemented in the first place. It was never the intent. It was just something that has always been. So when we're looking at this, when we look at the way that government operates in cases like that, we only have to look at really what they're doing right now. How can we not look at the same thing that's happening with COVID-19 and the restrictions that are taking place and ask ourselves the same questions or kind of draw the same conclusions? If we don't stop this stuff now, it's never going to go away. And I think that's the intent, really, in many ways of the government. You can't trust the government to do what's in your best interest. You need to do what's in your best interest. There's far too many people that are trusting in the government as this do this kind of this tool to basically get whatever they want. But the problem is that it doesn't work well. It doesn't work that way. And forever we'll be stuck in this cycle of trying to do this. And nobody, not Biden, not any of the Democrats, have proposed any kind of metric by which we're supposed to understand what these restrictions are supposed to even be for. What are we trying to achieve? I mean, the vaccines didn't work as effectively as they wanted them to. Some people got more cases or more infections with this other variant. By the way, they can't even test for this variant. So what are we trying to do? What numbers are we looking for? Because if there's no metric, and that's really what it is, there is no metric. Because there's no metric, we have to assume that all they're wanting to do is eradicate COVID entirely. That there must be zero cases, zero infections, zero hospitalizations, zero deaths, zero everything of COVID for us to be able to move on. The problem is with that theory or with that idea is that that's never going to happen. COVID will never go away. We either stand up for our rights today or we lose them forever. Because ultimately, once government has a hold of telling you what you can do, what you must do, it isn't going to change anytime soon. It isn't going to just automatically lift away because the government's looking out for you. The government's looking out for itself, not you. You have to look after you. The only way that these things get overturned, as I've talked about a little bit on Gab, is to literally push back. We need a mass wave of non-compliance. We can't let the government tell us what we're doing. Australia is one of the biggest ones right now because they're letting, they're forcing everything. They have all of these law enforcement officers. I mean, there were pastors in Canada that were arrested for having a church service on Sunday because of the lockdowns that were imposed by the government. We don't want to be in this situation. We don't. So we need to make sure that we're aware of what is the actual goal. The next time you see Biden or any of these people trying to say kids need to wear masks and this and that, what is the goal? What is the goal? Because the data is showing us something totally different. What are we trying to even achieve right now? Is it deaths? Is it hospitalizations? Democrats are always are going to shift to whatever makes the fits their narrative. They did the same thing under Trump. When the death count was going up, I mean, CNN had a death counter display 24/7. Now you don't see it anymore. You don't see it anymore. You don't see Democrats talking about how many hundreds of thousands of people died while technically Biden was president. They don't discuss it anymore. You're probably not even aware of the current case or the actual death count in the United States right now because the news isn't constantly talking about it. Or the case count for that matter, because they switched it to the second they couldn't use the deaths as a bludgeoning tool against Trump, all of a sudden it was the cases that we're going to focus on. Whatever fits in their narrative at that given point in time, this is no different. We know Democrats are very used to moving the goalposts. The second you get somewhere, they didn't want to move it back or however they need it to move in order to basically change the standard. But in this situation, there literally is no goalpost. Nobody is trying to make there be a goalpost. So we're just kind of stuck in this, what will be an endless cycle, where we are, if you will, circling back constantly to the same things that didn't work the first time. Masks didn't do anything to lower the numbers of deaths, to lower the number of cases at all the last time. So why are we doing it again as if that works? You repeatedly hear the Biden administration saying, oh, you can wear any old mask you want. It can be a bandana, a cloth mask, even though those masks have literally no proven effectiveness whatsoever outside of the N95s, which is not what most people are wearing, by the way, out to the grocery store or wherever they're going. The other thing that we have to take into consideration, too, is that these masks that they're looking at are being cleaned regularly, not the ones that most people are using. They're not washing them, they're not changing them, they're not making sure they're clean all the time, they're stuffing them in their pocket, they're littering them, they're throwing them all over the place. There's just so many things and other factors that take place that, once again, it shows you that this administration is not concerned about trying to help you. They're not concerned about your health. They're concerned about the control, and we have to push back on that. Otherwise, there's nothing really we can do about it other than just, once again, non-complying in a big way. That's really the biggest way that that's going to happen. To me, when I notice these things, when I notice that there is literally no goal, there's no end result, there's no metric that they're even looking at or talking about to even try to achieve, we don't even know what we're doing. When I see that, there's no reason in my mind why we should need to be complying to any of this stuff, to anything the government is saying. They don't even and can't even tell us a goal whatsoever. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not really concerned about it at all. Of course, it would help if Republicans at least were able to kind of come together in agreement on a lot of these issues. But Kristi Noem actually was refusing to back a GOP bill that was banning the vaccine mandates for employers and other companies like that. So the Republican state reps, John Hansen and Scott, were trying to null businesses by mandating their employees to get vaccinated against COVID-19 through the COVID-19 Vaccination Freedom of Conscience Act. So really, what this was supposed to be was something where they're saying, look, you as a private business, it does not matter who you are, you cannot mandate that your employees get the vaccine. Well, Noem disagrees. She's saying that such legislation is a slippery slope that could lead to other states or other dictates towards businesses Republicans might not like. If we mandate one thing, are we setting a precedent for what we're telling businesses that they have to do far into the future? Once again, this is the problem that I have with a lot of these squishy Republicans, and this isn't the first time that she in particular has kind of messed up on a big issue. She also had an issue with the trans issue as well, with something else. But the point is that there's a bunch of different issues that I have with people that do this, where they get elected, they tell you all these things they're going to do, and then all of a sudden they just are kind of these weak people that don't make any strong moves in one way or another. They just kind of stay and do what they're doing and don't really make any, basically they don't do what they were saying that they were going to do when they were elected in the first place. So you have these Republicans that are just weak, they're pushovers, they don't care, and it's like, why are we continuously electing these people? Because ultimately, what she's basically doing is saying it's okay for this business to literally fire you because you didn't get a vaccine. Doesn't matter how long you've been working there, doesn't matter the efficacy behind it or what your health is, it's perfectly fine for them to do that. Because apparently, according to her, you can just get a job somewhere else. That's literally what she said. She said that employees of private businesses opposed to the vaccine mandate can go work elsewhere. Okay, how's that supposed to work? I mean, that's not a solution. What if that other company elsewhere also requires the same thing? When one company does it, everybody starts doing it. And before you know it, it's very difficult to find a job where you can be okay without getting the vaccine. She doesn't seem to understand that or care about that whatsoever. So this is not a good look for her whatsoever. And once again, none of these companies are actually going to accept liability, by the way, for actually requiring these vaccines. So if something happens to you, an adverse reaction or what have you, if that happens to you, you may not be able to sue them for anything at all, even though they force you to take it. And the whole reasoning behind that is that it protects the company. We know that it's supposed to be about your health, but at the same time, we know that they personally do not care at all. Which leads me to a pretty sad story. This is about the a few rescue dogs that were shot and killed because of COVID, is what they're saying. Now, this took place in Australia, not the United States yet. But this is in Australia where they are under strict, strict lockdown. They are sending in a bunch of law enforcement and just everything else to try and make sure that everybody is locked down as much as possible. And as a result of this, you have businesses doing some pretty ridiculous stuff because of these forced lockdowns. So several impounded dogs, due to be rescued by a shelter, have been actually shot and killed by a rural council because of its interpretation of the COVID-19 restrictions. And notice how they're kind of putting the little kind of disclaimer kind of thing in there, their interpretation of the COVID-19 restrictions, okay? So the killed dogs, they killed the dogs to prevent volunteers at the animal shelter from traveling to pick up the animals last week. Literally to keep volunteers from picking the animals up. Because I'm assuming they were like, well, we don't want people coming over here that may have COVID, so we're just going to, to keep them from coming over here, we're just going to kill them all. If we don't have any dogs, I have no dogs to pick up, right? That's terrible. This is Australia right now. This is government tyranny right here. Because what you have is a business that is probably scared and they're like, we don't want to get in trouble for having to, getting in trouble for maybe not locking down like we think we should, like the government's saying. And out of that fear, they're killing dogs to try and keep volunteers from coming there to pick them up, to be rescued. This is just a very heinous, egregious, and despicable act of violence. And this isn't the only thing that's occurred like this, but it's now everybody's, it's kind of out there. It's kind of out there and people are like, okay, something needs to take place here. But this is what happens when government tries to force down some mandated policy and assume that everybody's just going to go along with it the same way. That's not what's going to take place. When you start scaring people like this, there's no telling what kind of evil things are taking place that you aren't even aware of. So the council decided to take this course of action, according to them, to protect its employees and community, including vulnerable Aboriginal populations, from the risk of COVID-19 restrictions. But like I mentioned, this is a kind of the ugly face of the COVID-19 lockdowns and policies that they think work. But this is what happens as a result. So this reprehensible act takes place all while the Australian government continues to basically say you must be locked down entirely no matter what. All because of COVID. That's the reasoning behind all of this. And Australia is extremely strict. They're extremely strict. If we're not careful, America could end up just like this. We can end up with shelters doing this exact same thing to dogs, all because we are, or people are scared of the American government and getting in trouble because of opening their doors for anything, even just continuing to run their business. So this could be coming here very soon if we're not careful. We need to be aware of what's going on around the world here because this is a massive problem. So in Sydney, the country's largest city, military personnel have been called in to enforce lockdown measures. Because once again, this is about trying to make sure everybody is under the control of the government. You must do everything they're saying. And as I was talking about in the kind of the last topic, what's the goal? What are they even trying to achieve right now? They're locking down all of these people. You have people literally killing dogs just to keep volunteers from coming to pick them up to rescue them. And what does the government have to say about that? What are they even trying to achieve? I mentioned the hospitalizations. What was it, 120-something people in ICU out of 25 million people in Australia, and they're doing this? What's your goal? Is it zero? Like, I'm really curious as to see what's going on. But as the usual fashion goes with all of these things, where is the mainstream media? They're nowhere to be found. They're silent on this issue because, of course, they don't care about anything that's slamming or going to be against the lockdowns whatsoever. The mainstream media is going to remain silent on it because that's the easiest thing for them to do. But this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody because the mainstream media is mostly fake news these days. There's actually a report that just came out, or a study, that's showing that only 22% of cable news is actually news. So many people might be kind of surprised by that. Like, why exactly is it that such a low number is news? What are they talking about? So what we're talking about is what we would consider as hard news. So the actual definition of hard news basically is meaning items of fact, talking about the actual facts around a situation. In other words, raw reporting. That right there is only 22% of what you're watching when you watch the news. Because a lot of it and everything else is just the, it's just them adding their opinion to it or other topics, and it's little things with different talk shows and whatnot. But the point is that most of what you're watching on the news is not legitimate fact at all. Very little of it is that. Less than a quarter of it is. But the majority of it is all of these opinions and fluff and health things, COVID-19 stuff that's related to that as well, which also would normally fall into that category. But most of what they're talking about are politicians' reactions to things and how this person reacted to this and what they believe and what that person believes, but they never actually talk about the legitimate facts. I mean, let's be real. If you're listening to this podcast or any other podcast, you know what you're getting. Generally speaking, you know what you're getting. But when you turn on the news, the sad part is that the majority of Americans don't know what they're getting, or they think they know what they're getting, but that's not what they're getting. They're really getting fake news, but in fact, they think to themselves that they're hearing facts. They think that what they're seeing is the legitimate news, when in reality, that's not what's happening. And the news, the mainstream media, they're not the only people that fought for this. Facebook just released its censorship report where it talks about all of the things that it did. And you know if they're releasing this is something that they're releasing because they're pretty proud of it as well. So check this out here. So between April and June 2021 this year, 20 million COVID posts have been removed, including many from doctors. 190 million posts had COVID warning labels added to them, and 31 million hate speech posts are removed. So we know which ones for the COVID stuff got removed. And what's crazy about this is what I would love to see is actually, okay, what got removed that now will be considered as okay? Because so many of the posts that I had posted on Facebook have gotten removed or had the warning label underneath it and all of that, but it's stuff that the CDC literally said a month later, but at that time was considered as misinformation because at that time, Facebook considered it that way. Because they're waiting on some official organizations to do this. And I hate the last part where they're talking about it's hate speech. And so they censored all of this hate speech. Listen, what that means and what that is determined as being is going to change. It already doesn't make any sense because normally people see that and they're like, oh, that sounds really bad. It sounds like maybe somebody being racist towards someone else. Well, that's actually not always the case. As long as all you can say is men and women are not the same. If you say that, that can be considered as hate speech to someone else, especially on the sensitive snowflake left that we see today. So that shouldn't come as any surprise, but really them doing this is more out of an act of boasting to say, look at how much good we're doing. We've silenced almost 200 million posts on this platform. So before you get on Facebook, just keep in mind, and other social media too with big tech, that a lot of what you're seeing has been censored, a lot of what you're seeing you may not be seeing at all, that is there or someone posted, but you're never going to find out about it because it has been removed, it's been altered, or you're when you're searching for something on Google that you're getting different results than what it normally would regularly be because they're trying to control the strains of information, making sure to push certain sources to you when you search something. There's always these things that you have to be watching out for right now because these companies, when you look at these numbers, yeah, 200, 300 million posts that you're taking off, changing, or adding disclaimers to, yeah, that could affect the outcome of the way people think. It really would. That's why it's so scary. When you look at what power these companies have, you realize why they don't need to have the power that they have in the first place whatsoever. The Capitol Police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt on January 6th, I've talked about this guy a bunch in that incident a lot as well on this show, but apparently now he's going to be speaking publicly for the first time in an ABC interview. So this is actually supposed to be happening later today on Thursday, so I will cover that a little bit later if there's anything out of that that's of importance, but this is not going to be good at all. I'll explain why, but their statement about this was that he's going to be speaking out and revealing his identity publicly for the first time. The officer will share his perspective on the events of that day, including the aftermath of the deadly insurrection and the threats he has received. So, of course, they're going to make this out to be the worst thing ever. They're going to lie a bunch. They're going to cover up the facts of the situation. He's going to misrepresent what actually took place, and he's going to play the victim. We know how this is going to work already. Now, Ashley Babbitt's family was actually trying to sue them because of this. They even launched an investigation into the murder. But the problem is that the Department of Justice basically dropped the whole thing and said, well, we just want to remain, keep this guy anonymous because of his protection and security reasons. And now it's just coming out. So I'm not really understanding exactly what's going on with that, why they're choosing to do this now. If you ask me, I think it's probably because he's going to do some book and he's trying to get a book deal and he needs to be able to reveal himself and play the victim card in order to get people to buy the book. I guarantee this is what's going to happen. Mark my words on that. But once again, if this was a white officer that was shooting a black person, you would have had that person's name within a few hours. And in this particular situation, just to see the runaround that Ashley Babbitt's family has been getting is just sad and ridiculous. It shouldn't be taking place like that. Either way, we have to look at the facts of the situation. She was unarmed. And he point-blank shot her through this window when he was in no harm or any danger whatsoever, and when there were police officers right behind her that weren't doing anything. So this really just kind of speaks to the ridiculousness of that entire situation. This episode's TikTok liberal is upset because apparently she can't find towels that fit her.
Okay, let's have a moment of honesty because this is a safe corner, and I want to talk about something that never fails to get me, like really get me, and not like get me in a good way. And the thing I'm talking about are freaking towels. So I've been on a journey to like redo my spaces that I live in, and that includes my bathroom. Who knew that finding a towel that was plus size friendly in a mainstream store would be like shopping for a needle in a haystack? So I've tried on towels, like literally tried towels on in stores, and have yet to find one that fits my body. Example A, here I am in the wild trying on towels that are called oversized bath towels. And surprise, surprise, it didn't fit me. Are we shocked? I mean, with the way that fashion sizing is, I'm not. But it always gets to me because I'm human. And did I cry in Target? Yeah. But here's the thing. My embarrassment is now replaced by frustration and rage. Is it too much to ask for towels to fit plus size bodies?
All right, so if a towel didn't fit me, okay, let's just play the situation out. You can kind of play this with me here too as well, okay? So if you're going somewhere to a store or something, and you're looking for a towel, and you're for whatever reason wrapping this towel around you in the store, whatever, and it doesn't fit around you. You tell me, are you going to blame the company that made the towel, or are you going to start looking at yourself and say, you know what, something needs to change here with me, okay? I think, if you're watching this for sure, but I think the vast majority of us would be like, hey, maybe there's something I need to change. I maybe need to be the one that fixes myself, loses weight, something along those lines, because we have personal accountability. We're not expecting companies to make a specific product just for us, and we understand that. These people on TikTok, these liberals, however, they have no concept of this whatsoever because they can't blame themselves, because we live in a culture where all of this is praised, and not only praised, but encouraged. You see this all the time. So the thing is that I guess when you look at these people like this, you see that they don't think this way. They literally are more fixated on blaming others for their problems instead of actually looking at themselves to be the center of their actual issues. And the thing is that it's always someone else's fault. That is consistent with the left-wing view of the world. That if I am poor, it's someone else. If I am fat, it's someone else. If I'm this gender or whatever it is, then it's something else that I have to blame the oppression on. I can't look at myself and say that maybe I need to fix me. It must be something else. This is the society that we live in. Everybody must be offended at all times, no matter what takes place. It could be at a towel, it could be at this or that. You know, it doesn't matter. Next, you're going to have people that are saying, oh, well, I wanted to get a wedding ring, but it didn't fit my fingers because they're too fat or something. So I'm going to sue the company and I'm going to create this huge outrage over this because of this. It really just doesn't make sense. There's an understanding of the way of why things work a certain way. And in our society, you just have people that are way too sensitive for that, obviously. And they expect every product be 100% solely focused on them. And meanwhile, if you're listening to this on audio, you're not seeing this, but you have her wearing this shirt that is probably, I don't know, maybe 5 inches showing off her stomach area, kind of the mid region. Basically, her shirt doesn't even fit, but she's concerned about a towel. It's like, maybe you should focus, on your shirt first or your actual clothes and then leave the towels for another time. You know what I mean? But they don't want to do this. I mean, this lady looks absolutely crazy. They have the same crazy eyes in all of these videos. Rest assured, it's always that way. So just a weird situation that basically highlights exactly the way that the modern left-wing people view our society today. It's always through the lens of blaming somebody else for their problems instead of actually fixing them themselves like a normal human being that has some personal responsibility that would actually treat the situation. So with that being said, that's all I have for you on this show. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. But with that being said, I will see you, or you will hear me, on the next one.